Yeah. So we wanted to start Chazara. We're running a little bit late, so it's a bit shortened today. Dine Momenes B'Shleisha, one of the hardest sugyas we've done for a long time. A very geshmaka sugya. Dine Momenes B'Shleisha, as we know already, Ze Boir Eloi Echad, Ze Boir Eloi Echad. Each one chooses one. One what? So you remember Rashi learned, based on the Gemara we're about to see, it means that he chose one Bezdin. Which is a bit strange, because then it says, V'Shneim Boir Elmem Oid Echad, which means you're going to have three bezdins altogether. Well, who needs nine dayonim? The Gemara asks this question. Divrei Meir Chachamim. No, shnei dayonim boirim lohem oed echad. The two dayonim choose the third, and therefore, indeed, you'll just end up with three. Okay. The main subject that we spend a lot of time with is the next line of the Mishnah. Zeh poisel dayonim shel zeh v'zeh poisel dayonim shel zeh. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Each one can pasul the other one's dayan. So Baruch Hashem. Now that we've learned the Gemara, we know what this means. You can't just go around pasling dayonim, but we're talking about low standard. Remember, from those from Surya, who are not so competent. So Rav Meir says, those indeed you can pasle, even if you have no basis for doing so. And the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim, no. Emosai bizman shemedi aleim raya shem kravim oipsulim. Only if you bring an absolute proof that they're either related or possible. You can't pass a dayon, even if they are not the most competent, unless you bring a clear proof that halachically they are possible, disqualified from being dayon. And then we had the last case, and again, we spent a lot of time on this. Same too with Edim. Zer poisel Edov shel zer, v'zer poisel Edov shel zer, divrei Rabbi Meir. And remember that gave the Gemara a very hard time. How on earth could you pasul other Edim? In the case of Dayanim, fine, so you can say we're talking about Dayanim who are not so competent. But what does that mean in the case of Edim? You don't need to be a competent aid. So we saw altogether four Tirutzim for that question, which we'll see presently. The Chachamayim, no, it's not true. Emosai bizman shemevi alein rayashin krev moi psulim. Once again, you can't pasul Edim. You've got to bring a clear proof. They are krev moi psulim, avlimo yukshirim, einon. Yochel Lefoislon, so we're going to see all different types of ways, four in total, to explain what exactly is this Machlokes all about. But before we get there, says the Gemara, we first need to understand the first line of the Mishnah. What does it mean that each one chooses Echod? Echod means what? Mai zeh boire loy Echod, zeh boire loy Echod. What does that mean that each one chooses one, quote unquote? Betlasa sagi question mark, but with three it's sufficient. So why would you need to choose one bezdin and then another one chooses another bezdin and then the two of them choose the third bezdin? You have nine dayanim altogether. Says the Gemara, no, you didn't understand. Hochi ka omar. This is what was meant. Kashe ze boir loy bezdin echod, vze boir loy bezdin echod. Shneyen boirim lohen oid echod. In other words, not that this is what you must do, but rather in the event that one chose a bezdin and the other one did not accept it, and then the second one chose a bezdin and the first one did not accept it, well, then the two of them are going to have to come up with a bezdin together. But not that this is what you must do. Have a first, and then a second, and then a third bezdin. Obviously not. You don't need nine dayonim. But rather, when one chooses one bezdin, as Rashi explained, and the other one did not accept it, and then the second one chose the bezdin, and the first one didn't accept it, well, then the two of them are going to have to come up with an agreed-upon bezdin. Says the Gemara, v'afilu loive motzi ma'akev. Are you trying to tell me that until such point, either party can withhold, can object, even the loiva? Didn't we say, didn't Rabbi Loza once say that the only one who could object is the malva? The loiva, we force him, the don be right. We force him where to go and what bezim to go. He doesn't get a choice in the matter. The answer is, just like Rabbi Yechanan said later on, with regard to a different discussion, he said, Be'erkois Shebasuria Shanu Hochanami, so too, we'll copy and paste that and use that for our discussion. Be'erkois Shebasuria Shanu. What are the Erkois in Surya? Remember we said in Surya they are the incompetent Dayanim. So even though under ordinary circumstances, as the Gemara, indeed the Loiver doesn't really get much of a say, but if he notices that he's being dragged to a Bezdin of incompetent Dayanim, well then he can put his foot down and be Ma'akiv. Says the Gemara, Avol Mumchin, Loi. But you're quite right, if they are Mumchin, then indeed, you cannot puzzle them. Then you cannot puzzle them. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Oma Afilu Tema Mumchin. Rav Papa's Chaylikin says, no, even if we're talking about Mumchin, on occasion the Loiva can object. How can that be? Kagoin Beidina de Rav Huna Uderav Chista de Ka'omar Le Mi Ka Matrachna Lecha. We're talking about where both Bote Dinim are in the same place. The Bezdin of Rav Huna and the Bezdin of Rav Chista were both in the same town. That's where Rashi explains. Therefore, I can say, Mi ka matrach na lecho. Am I being matriach in you in any way? Bishloima. If there's a Bezdin in one place and the Loiva wants to object and says, no, I'd rather go to the Bezdin in Haifa. Well, then the Loiva can't do that. But the Loiva can object if the choices are two Bote Din in the same town, because the Loiva will say, listen, I'm not really inconveniencing you. All I'm saying is just go down the road in the same city. Tanan, the Mishnah says, V'chachomim oimrim, Shnei dayonin boirim loim oid echod v'i salkadatoch kedugomrinon. If you're going to learn, like we said before that what does it mean? One party will choose a Bezdin, the other one will reject. Then the second one will choose a Bezdin and the first one will reject it. And then the two of them together will come up with a Bezdin. So if we're talking about two Bate Din who have been rejected, so how can the Mishnah then say in the name of the Chachamim that the two Dayanim will then choose the third? What does that mean, the two Dayanim? The Bezdin has been rejected, will choose the third, they're out of the picture. Says the Gemara, v'isal kadatach kudakamrinon. If you're going to tell me, like we said before, Bezdin, that we're referring to the Bezdin bosar de posli lahu, a Bezdin, after we have already pasled them and rejected them, ozli ubararu lahu beidina achrina? What, they're going to be the ones who are now choosing the third Bezdin? How can that be? They've been totally rejected. Void, and anyway, my zeh boireloi echod, the zeh boireloi echod. Besides, this whole pshat that each one is choosing a Bezdin, that doesn't really fit in very well with the words of the Mishnah, which is zeh boireloi echod. What does echod mean? Echod sounds like one dial, not a whole Bezdin. That the whole pshat doesn't seem to make sense. Says the Gemara, Elo hochi ka'omar. You're right. This is really now, we're now going to start all over again. And the Mishnah really means something else. Kershazer boireloi dayon echod. Not a whole bezdin. One will choose a dayon. Vezer boireloi dayon echod. The second one will choose another dayon. Shneyen boirim lohem oid echod. Then the two of them will choose the third dayon. So therefore, this is the much more simple pshat in the Mishnah. Not that each one chooses an entire bezdin, but rather each one chooses a dayon. You now have two dayonim, and they too will choose the third. Why indeed do we do it like this way? Maishno of the Hochi, why do we have to go through this whole process? Omri b'marava meshmeid rebzeira mitoich shezer boirer loy dayon echod. Because one chose one dayon, v'zer boirer loy dayon echod, v'shneyan boirer loy oid echod, yeitze hadin la'amitoi. We're much more likely for the din to emerge as MS, amitoi from the word MS. So rather than just showing up at your local Bezdin And whoever happens to be there happens to be there. No, if each of the two litigants has chosen their own personal dayan, and obviously, I'm not talking about a dayan who has any relationship or any negias or bias, because then it won't come out MS. But if he's confident that this dayan is a Talmid Chacham and will see the story objectively, then it's much more likely that the whole psak will emerge as MS. Okay, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. So again, what's happening? The first litigant is choosing dayan number one. The second litigant is choosing dayan number two. And then the two litigants will come up with the third dayan. Says the Gemara, the Chachamim Oimrim, what did the Chachamim say? That no, it is the two Dayanim who choose the third Dayan. According to Remeir, it's the two litigants who choose the third Dayan. And according to the Chachamim, it's the two Dayanim who chose the third Dayan. So what is the Machlokes? Says the Gemara, Neima, but Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Komiflegi. Let us suggest, again, that word Neima, which always means it'll fall away. Let us suggest as a first thought that this machlokes about who's choosing the last dayon, is it the two parties or is it the two dayonim? The machlokes seems to really revolve about Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Dom Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, ein ho eidim choismin al hashtar elo im kein yoidim mi choisim imohen. Remember Rav said that an aid should never sign on a shtar unless they know who will join them. Why? Because for all they know, what might happen? Maybe another aid is going to be asked to sign. And maybe that aid will turn out to be apostle. And what do we always hold? Botla miktsasa, botla kula. The one's part of the group is disqualified. The whole group gets disqualified. And therefore, you may well end up being disqualified even though you're actually a perfectly kosher aid. Why would you end up being disqualified through no fault of your own? It'd be highly embarrassing. Imagine you signed a shtar in Beis Din and everybody in town is talking about, oh, did you hear that Pliny was disqualified? What are people going to start circulating rumors about me? Oh, well, maybe it's a Machal Shabbos. And no, nothing of the sort. I'm a perfectly kosher aid. It happens to bring, they brought somebody else, and he's the Machal Shabbos, therefore the whole group goes. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Rav says, never sign a shtar until you've found out who are going to be the other Eidim to sign. So maybe that's our discussion. Rabbi Meir, Lesleid, Rabbi Yehuda Rav, Rabbonon, Islud, Rabbi Yehuda Rav. In other words, why is there a machloikis in our Mishnah who chooses the third dayon? Maybe that all depends on Rav Yehuda Marav. If you hold of this concern that what? Don't be an aid, and therefore by extension, don't be a dayon. Don't agree to be a dayon on a Beis Din unless you know who the other dayonim are. Once again, you'll be elected as a dayon, and can you imagine rumors are going to start circulating around town? Oh, did you hear about Dayan Pliny? He was thrown out the Beis Din. Oh, what's he done? Must be Machal Shabbos. No. He's a perfectly kosher and competent Dayan. But there was another Dayan on the Beis Din, and he was the Machal Shabbos that disqualified the whole group. So maybe in the same way the Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, don't become an aid until you know everybody there. So too, don't become a Dayan until you know everybody there. So therefore, Reb Meir, that's the first opinion. He was the one who says that who's choosing the third dayon? It's the two litigants. So he doesn't seem to be concerned with this concern. Because the two dayonim are approached, yes, we'll sit on the Beis Din. Oh, that's interesting. You have no idea who the third Beis Din is going to be, third dayon is going to be, because we're going to choose him. So Reb Meir seems to be not concerned with this chashash. But Rabbonon say that who's choosing the third dayon? The third dayan will be chosen by the first two. Ah, that seems to fit in with Rav Yehuda Marav. Why is it the dayanim's business to choose the last dayan? Like we said, because the dayanim want to say, listen, we're not prepared to sit on this Beis Din unless we know who's going to be this dayan. Says the Gemara, no. Loi. Remember we said before, if it says Neima, then you can expect it's going to be rejected. Loi. The Kula Alma is Lehud Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Everybody agrees to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. We're not debating whether Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is correct or not. That's not the discussion. V'das hadayonim kulal meloi pligi deboinon. Everybody actually agrees that the two dayonim have to give consent to the third dayon. Why? Because of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav's opinion that the dayon cannot possibly be expected to sit on a bezdin unless he's fully aware and is actually in part of the selection process of who will be the third dayan. That's not up for discussion. The discussion is, ki pligi, das balei dinin. The question is, do you also need the consent of the two litigants? Reb Meir sova das balei dinin nami bo'inon. Not only must the dayanim be part of the selection process, but also the two litigants. And Rabbanon said, we know, das dayanim bo'inon, the das dali dinin loy bo'inon. So this is a very big chiddush. When we read the Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, the Mishnah says, who's choosing the last two dayanim? One opinion says it's the two litigants, and the other opinion says it's the two dayanim. It turns out that machloikas is not as simple as it seems. Everybody agrees that the dayanim are part of the selection process. Everybody agrees. Why? For reasons we said before, because the dayanim can't take a risk. The whole reputation is in jeopardy otherwise. The shaila is only, and this is the machloikas is, do the two litigants also have a say? So who is choosing the final dayan? Is it the first two dayanim themselves, or is it the first two dayanim with the two litigants? But everybody agrees that the first two dayanim definitely are part of the selection process for the reasons we said before. Otherwise, they are running a huge risk of putting their whole reputation at stake. Says the Gemara Gufa on the last medium line. Omar Yudam Arab, we said before, Ein or Eidim. Remember, we said Gufa. What does Gufa mean? Gufa always means then when we made a quote before, now we're going to re-examine it. We're going to look at the guf, the body of this statement that was said before. Omer Yudah Marav, Ein ho'edim chos min al ashtar, tanya nami hochi. So too we learned a very similar statement in a brisa, where it says, Kach hoyu nekiei hadash of Yerushalayim oisin. Says the brisa that this is what the nekiei hadash in Yerushalayim used to do. Loi hoyu chaysmin al ashtar elem ken yoidim mi chaysim imohen. Exactly as was stated, the nekiyei hadas means the tamidei chachamim would not sign on a shtar before knowing who else is signing on the shtar. I must know who else is signing on the shtar. Number one. Number two, veloi hoyu yoshvim bedin elem ken yoidim mi yeshiv imohen. Neither, not only would they not sign a shtar, they also would not be a dayan on a bezdin unless they know who is the other dayan. And finally, they would not sit down at a simcha or at a suda unless they found out, one second, who else is on this table? Why was it important? Now, obviously, this halacha is a little bit different to the last halachas. The first two halachas about being an aid or a dayan, so it's a practical concern. If you haven't found out who your fellow aide is or who your fellow dayan is, they may be rejected and you'll be rejected with them and your reputation will be under attack. This last halacha is a different halacha. Why would they not sit at a table before being mavarer who's there? So Rashi explains that was an ikavod ha-Torah. They were tamidei chachamim and they were not prepared to be a bizoyan for kavod ha-Torah for this great Talmud Chacham to sit with some lowly Amoraites. So therefore, they first would ascertain, one second, I need to know exactly who else is sitting on this table. Ah, it's Talmid Chachamim. Fine, so I can allow myself to sit at this table as well. A very beautiful halacha. It's interesting, I was at a wedding recently of our dear friend, 2 weeks ago, today, Eliyahu David Heyman. So I was sitting next to our dear friend, my very close chaver, Reb Doron Beckerman. So Doron Beckerman told me once that one of his family members, one of the Kamenetskys, whenever he sat at a wedding and the people at the table, he always used to say hello to every single person at the table and would quote this Gemara. The Gemara says that you should not sit at a table unless you know everyone's there. So I said to him, it's a very beautiful story, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi doesn't say it's an issue of being friendly, although I must say, I'm sure we've all experienced this, there is an unpleasant feeling of sometimes sitting at a table and there's another guy at the table and you have no idea who it is. And it is a very nice middah to make sure everyone feels welcome. But either way, that's not pshat in this Gemara. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi doesn't say that there will be mavara who the other guests are because of chesed reasons and make them feel at home. But rather, it was an issue of kavod HaTorah. It's a very big godla dor, the nekiyei hadas b'Yerushalayim. One of the cleanest minds in Yerushalayim, meaning the greatest tzaddikim in Yerushalayim, it would be inappropriate to for him to be seated with an amoretz. So that's the issue, not because of chesed, but rather als kavod HaTorah. Fine. Okay, you know what? We'll hold it over here. We'll come to two dots. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue our chazara tomorrow, all being well. Okay, much. If you have any photos of yesterday, we'd love to see them.
Okay.
Okay then.
Thank
Be
you.
Well, everybody. Okay, call to.
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.